straight in text 56. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sarva karmani api sadam.
Sarva karmani api sadam.
Kurvano madhyapsrayam.
Kurvano madhyapsrayam.
Matrasadat avapnoti.
Matrasadat avapnoti.
Sasvatam padam avyayam.
Sasvatam padam avyayam.
Sarva karmani api sadam.
Sarva karmani api sadam.
Kurvano madhyapsrayam. Matrasadat avapnoti.
Matrasadat avapnoti.
Sasvatam padam avyayam.
Sasvatam padam avyayam.
Sarva karmani api sadam.
Sarva karmani api sadam.
Kurvano madhyapsrayam.
Kurvano madhyapsrayam.
Matrasadat avapnoti.
Matrasadat avapnoti.
Sasvatam padam avyayam.
Sasvatam padam avyayam.
Sarva.
All. Karmani.
Karmani.
Activities.
Activities.
Api.
Api.
All the.
All the.
Sada.
Sada.
Always.
Always.
Kurvanaha.
Kurvanaha.
Performing.
Performing.
Mat vyap asraya.
Mat vyap asraya.
Under my protection.
Under my protection.
Mat prasadat.
Mat prasadat.
By my mercy.
By my mercy.
Avapnoti.
Avapnoti.
One achieves.
One achieves.
Sasvatam.
Sasvatam.
The eternal.
The eternal.
Padam.
Padam.
Abode.
Abode.
Avyayam.
Avyayam.
Imperishable.
Imperishable.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace from Vishnu Paramahansa. Paribraja Kacharya Ashtatara Satishi Simane Sivakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Please kindly repeat.
Although engaged
in all kinds of activities,
my pure devotee,
under my protection,
reaches the eternal
and imperishable
abode
by my grace.
Purple.
The word mat vyap ashraya means under the protection of the Supreme Lord. To be free from material contamination, a pure devotee acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord or His representative, the Spiritual Master. There is no time limitation for a pure devotee. He is always, 24 hours a day, 100% engaged in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. To a devotee who is thus engaged in Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very, very kind. In spite of all difficulties, He is eventually placed in the transcendental abode of Krishna Loka. He is guaranteed entrance there. There is no doubt about it. In that supreme abode, there is no change. Everything is eternal, imperishable, and full of knowledge. Om Agyanam Smirandasya Janam Janam Chalakaya Takshuram Minitam Dhinatasana Shri Virayam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Nami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirdeshe Sarasam Yavari Pashyakta Deshkari Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare
Ram, Hari Ram,
Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Sarva kamani api sada kurvano madhvya pastaya mad prasadat avapnoti sasvatam padam avyayam.
Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. So here Krishna is giving the destination of his pure devotees. They, although engaged in all kinds of activities, they reach my eternal and imperishable abode by His grace. So here, Prabhupada is pointing out this word, Vyapshraya, means to be under the protection of the Supreme Lord. Yesterday we were discussing also being under the protection, Doiri Prakriti, being under the protection of the Lord's internal energy. It means to be free from material contamination. So Prabhupada is pointing out here, to actually get free from material contamination, the pure devotee acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord, or he's represented to the spiritual master. If you can do that, you act under the direction of Krishna or Krishna's representative, you're free from material contamination. It's as simple as that. The whole process is hearing. You hear from the devotee and you act on those words. That's all. You don't do anything else. You don't do it. Anything outside of that, or you don't add to it, you don't subtract. If you just do that much, you hear and you simply act on it. That means to be free from material contamination. Guru Mukha Padma Bhava Chiteti Koriya Kadet. Let my consciousness become purified by the words emanating from your mouth. So this is one who is doing that, he's considered pure devotee. That's all. This is the definition of purity, of pure devotee. That you hear from the spiritual master, from pure devotee, and you act on those. Well, that's all you do. If you do that much, that is considered pure devotee. It's not that you have to get four arms or be flying around in the air or anything like that. No, you simply act on those words. That's all. But you don't subtract or concoct or anything. You simply act on those words. Here it says there's no time limitation for pure devotees. Always engaged 24 hours a day, 100% engaged in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. To a devotee who is thus engaged in Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very, very kind. So we may be thinking, well, a pure devotee may be engaged 24 hours a day, but I can't do like that. I can't act 24 hours a day, 100%, engaged in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. But why not? Krishna says, Yat Karoshi, that is what the earlier on verse, that whatever you do as an offering unto me. Whatever you eat, you first make it an offering unto me. Whatever you give away in charity, first you do it for me. So we may be saying, well, now I got so many karmas to do. But what is the ultimate purpose of karma? Krishna says, yeah, do your activities for me. That is perfection of karma, karma yoga. I have to do my karma. Then Krishna says, do it for me. So we have to do work to maintain ourselves, our family. So Krishna doesn't say stop it. He didn't tell Arjuna to stop fighting. Even Arjuna wanted to. He encouraged him. No, you fight. It's your dharma, your duty, you do it. But do it for me. So anything we're doing, we have to maintain ourselves. Okay, then do it for Krishna. And all the results should be done for Krishna, given to Krishna. My life is given to Krishna, the result is given to Krishna. In this way, everything I do can be done for Krishna. And whatever I eat, also I should have first offered to Krishna. Whatever you give away in charity, okay. Whatever excess I have, after maintaining myself, family, etc., what I need from it. What excess I give to Krishna. So that is pure devotee. So it's not so difficult. But simply we have to hear properly. It's not that we have to give up all activities in the world and go and renounce everything, then I can give myself completely. Krishna's not saying that. Krishna says here, although engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotees, under my protection, they reach that supreme eternal goal, Goloka Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka. What devotee you want, you can reach there. Krishna says, by my grace. Arjuna proposes a question. It is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He poses the question that he's speaking out for Arjuna. He says, Krishna, now you're saying, although engaged in all kinds of activities, my devotees, you're saying they reach the supreme abode. That means your devotees, means some are doing karma, some are niskam karma, some are shakrik. You have all different types of devotees, Krishna. Some are in sannyas order, some are in grihasta. They're all different types and different levels and of different advancements. What you're saying, Krishna, doesn't sound logical. Although engaged in all kinds of it, they all come to me. How can you say that, Krishna? Because sannyasi is much more renounced than the grihasta. He's left all his home and his wife and children and everything, responsibility. And he's got more knowledge generally than the jnani or the jnani. The jnani is simply evolved in study, and it's not expected that the grihasta devotee or anything like that, he would have so much time to study like that. So he doesn't have much renunciation, like I said, he doesn't have so much knowledge, but Krishna, you're saying that all those engaged in all kinds of activities, you're saying he's equal to the jnani and the sannyasi. You're saying he's also going to reach my superior. This doesn't sound logical, Krishna. What you're saying doesn't sound logical. As we see, one is much more renounced, much more knowledgeable, but you're saying, what is the logic behind this, Krishna? And Krishna says, yes. He said, the logic is, it's beyond logic. He says, that's the logic. It's beyond, why? Because, as he says here, by my grace. Huh? If you accept my grace, then that counteracts all logic. I can do anything and everything. And if you accept my words, what I'm saying, you will be able to accept that easily. If you want to apply your logic, you're not going to understand. Yes, the logic is beyond logic. If you accept my mercy, I'm offering my mercy, as Krishna is saying here, then you can get it. That's all. You simply hear what I'm saying, Arjuna. By my grace, all my devotees will come to me. It's not that you have to renounce everything. It's not that you have to have so much knowledge to come to me. The only qualification is just, you're sold out, heart and soul, to Krishna, that's all. No matter what situation you're in, that's your only quality. That's all I'm seeing. Whether you're in, you got 100 kids and you're bound up in family affairs and business and everything like that. I mean, looking at your heart, how much your heart is sold out to me. So what Krishna is saying here, which is, Anukul asked this question later on today. What he's saying, sannyas is also ashram, but they're completely free from all kind of material responsibilities. So they got nothing to do but just to give everything to Krishna, 24 hours a day. So that seems, we would like to do that. Be like Paramahamsa, have no responsibility, just depend on Krishna, 24 hours. But we can't do that. So, the other devotee, he's got his family, he's got his business, he's got so many things to maintain. He has to give so much time for his business activities, so much time for his family. And he may be thinking, well, I'm not like the sannyasi. The sannyasi is 24 hours a day. He can completely absorb himself in Krishna. I could absorb myself in, maintenance, and etc., etc. I only have this time, according to my karma, my position I'm in now, I only have this much time to give to Krishna. But I'll give that much time to Krishna. And that's what Krishna is seeing. The sannyasa ashram affords him to give 24 hours. The other devotee in the grihasa, it only allows him to give that much. But he's giving that much. That much he's giving fully. The sannyasa, whatever time he's got, he's giving fully to Krishna. Whatever time the grihasa's got, he's giving fully to Krishna. From Krishna's angle of vision, I see them both the same. Because they're both giving everything to me, according to their position of karma. One is in a renounced sort of life because of previous activities, etc. He's been able to attain that position. And one is just coming up. But both of them, like, they're giving whatever they got, they're giving to Krishna. And that's what Krishna is seeing. So Krishna is saying, no, they're equal, Arjuna. You're speaking of it, that doesn't seem logical. But from my angle of vision, they're both giving everything according to their karma and their situation. Whatever they can give, they're giving. And that's what I'm seeing. So here, if we can accept these words, by my grace, Krishna says, who we are dealing with? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. But Krishna is Bhagavan. He is speaking. And he's saying, by my grace, these things can be achieved. We hear that. And why we shouldn't accept it 100%. But the problem is it goes in one ear and it comes out the other ear. We don't hear Krishna properly. And Arjuna goes on to say, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, he goes on to say, well, what about me? You're talking about people in general here, although engaged in all types of activities. These are people in general. But what about me, Krishna? Because I'm your friend. Should I perform pure devotional service or should I perform Sakam Karma or something like that? Krishna says, Arjuna, you're not ready for pure devotion. You're not ready. He's Krishna's friend, best friend. Krishna says, you're not ready for pure devotion, Arjuna. Don't think it. And also, you're above Sakam Karma. You're Madhyam. You do Madhyam Bhakti. But Krishna said, no, you're not ready yet. Why Arjuna is not ready? Because Arjuna is still asking at the beginning of this chapter. He's addressing Krishna, Madhusudan. Madhusudan means he kills the demon Madhu, or that who has doubt. The doubts are compared to demons. So Madhusudan, who destroys the doubt. So Arjuna is addressing Krishna's Madhusudan to kill the doubt. So he's saying, so Arjuna says, am I ready for pure devotional service? Krishna says, no way. Because you still have a doubt. I told you so many things throughout And now, this is the last chapter. And still you have a doubt. That means you haven't heard. It doesn't register. Krishna said, I've shown you the... I told you all my opulences. I've explained to you so many things which nobody else could explain. I even showed you the form Visharup, the universal form. I showed you my form as time, how I destroy everything. I even showed you the forearm feature of Narayan. You wanted to see that form. I even showed you that, the God of Gods. Everybody understands that Narayan is the Lord of the Gods, the great God. I showed you that form, Arjuna. But still you doubt. Why do you have a doubt? Therefore you're not ready for pure devotion. You're not hearing, it's going. Still you're holding on to that thing that if I kill my relatives, it'll be sinful. This is Arjuna's anxiety. This is why he keeps questioning. He's trying to get out of fighting like anything. So questions, Krishna's presenting something to him, and he's trying to skillfully get out of it. He's using logic. He's using anything he can to try and get out of this fighting his relatives. He really thinks that if I kill my relatives, it'll be sinful. Even though Krishna's explained to him, done some, showed him he's the Supreme Lord, and instructed him, you have to fight. Still Arjuna is, because of his conditioning, he's heard everything, but his condition is so strong. It's not letting Krishna's words go into the heart. This is our position. We are so much conditioned by material. We hear these words of Krishna, but we still have our own conceptions. What is right? What is wrong? What is best for me? We can't get rid of these conceptions easily. It's difficult. I mean, it is easy, but we hang on to them. Even Krishna is speaking so clearly. So this is the position of everyone. If we could just let that conditioning go and simply accept what we hear, and immediately Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness can be immediate, or it can take many, many lifetimes. So it's a very, very, very nice point that Krishna is making here. He's saying quite clearly, all my devotees engaged in any activities. You may apparently be bound up in work and everything. And you may be a completely free sannyasi. But Krishna, no, all of my devotees engaged, they can all come to me and go to my supreme abode. By my grace. So this devotee means he's dependent on Krishna's mercy. He puts himself completely under Krishna's shelter, protection. He doesn't rely on his own conceptions of what should be, what should not be, what is right, what is wrong. He agrees to accept Krishna's authority. Of course, Arjuna is playing this part of being in the bewildered. He's accepted Param Brahma, Param Dham. He's already accepted Krishna as the absolute truth. That is why when Krishna says that I am situated in everyone's heart, the super soul is situated in everyone. Surrender unto him utterly. Krishna says, he's situated in everyone as a super soul. Situated in everyone. Surrender unto him utterly. And many people say, well, Krishna is telling Arjuna to surrender unto the super soul in the heart. So therefore they're different. People are saying there are difference between the super soul and Krishna. But already Krishna has declared that I am the super soul in the heart of everyone. But he points out, the acharyas point out, no. Krishna says, I'm saying that, Arjuna, surrender unto him utterly. because you've already accepted me. You told me before, I'm accepting you, Param Brahma, Param Dham. You are the soul, you are the super soul. That's why I'm saying now, because you've already told me you accept that I'm the super soul. I don't have to tell you that I am that super. That's why I'm saying surrender unto him utterly. Already you know that I am that super soul. I don't have to make it. You already accepted that earlier on. So some people in their right Gita, and they say, well, look, Krishna is making a distinction. But no, he's saying that to Arjuna because Arjuna has already accepted Krishna as the super soul. So this is the position. As Prabhupada says, now we have to accept the authority of Krishna and work under that 24 hours. Oh, the representative of Krishna, the pure devotee, the spiritual master. We have to act under his direction. And Prabhupada says elsewhere in the Gita that one has to accept an authority and abide by that authority. And that authority should be Krishna, or Krishna's representative, because he will give the same message. So, if we don't act on, by accepting an authority, then we will be our own authority. We have to accept some leader. That is a way of everybody accept some kind of leader. So, if we don't accept an authority leader, we'll accept someone else. Someone bogus will come along. Or we accept our own opinions as being absolute and final. And then we become bewildered. What is the proof of that? The proof is that now we've got another human body and we're in a bewildered condition. We've been through billions and billions and billions of different births and we're still in a bewildered condition. Why? Because we've been accepting mainly our own authority. I know what is good for me. I know what is best. And I know what is best for me gets me into a cat body, a dog body, a cockroach body. And I'm so proud of my opinion. I know what is best. So now we have to give up that. No, I don't know anything like Arjuna. I'm bewildered, Krishna. Now you please tell me. I'm trying so much to get out, argue with Krishna. No, I'm bewildered. You tell me, Krishna. I'm your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. So then, actually, human life begins at that point. When we accept an authority. Then one becomes civilized. So here, what is the difference? Because there are many authorities. What is the difference between accepting different authorities or accepting Krishna? Because Krishna is saying, no, you accept my authority. What is the result of that? Then you come back to my supreme abode, that imperishable, eternal abode. Nobody else can give you that. They may be authority on something or another. But they're not authority enough to take you back to the supreme kingdom of God. That is Krishna's position. And it's Krishna saying, yes, this is what I'm going to give you. Anybody who follows, this is what I'll give you. Here, so many places in Bhagavad Gita. One who is remembering me at the time of leaving this body, he comes to my supreme abode, Param Dham Nityatam. Never has to come back again to the material world. This is what happens if you follow Krishna's authority. No one else can give you that. They may be able to give you Swarga Loka, they can give you Siddhi, Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, so many things. But they cannot give you the kingdom of God. Like Krishna says, I can do how? By my grace. Simply by my willing only. And that is my desire. It is Krishna's ambition to take us all back to God. That is why he's coming here. That is why he's speaking Bhagavad Gita. That is why he's sending his representatives. What do they say? All these representatives and the Shastra and the Gurus and the Sadhus, they say, try to make a happy situation in the material world. No one ever says that. Why you are rotting in this material world?
You don't belong here. Come back to the your father's abode, kingdom of God. Nobody says make a happy situation here. No saintly person. Well, get out of this situation. Come back home, back to Godhead. Why? Eternal life. Imperishable. Eternal. Full of happiness. So this is what Krishna is giving. And this is what everyone wants. Why everyone is so much attached to this family and society and love, etc. in the material world. And we like it more than anything else. Nobody likes to get out of it. So we admit that, yes, we like it. Family, society, love, friendship, we like it. Nobody likes to leave that situation. We're struggling hard to maintain it and keep it as nice as possible. But the problem is, I cannot maintain it. It's just a matter of time before I'm kicked out of the situation. We're all kicked out of the situation. However much nice situation we've got, family situation. Something called old age is creeping up. And death is coming in. Kicks you out of that situation again. Put you in another situation. Try the same thing again. But I like it. But the intelligent question, I don't like the birth and death business. I don't like the growing old business. I don't like the disease business. Part of it and the hard work. But I like the friendship, society and love. So where can I get friendship, society, and love where there is no old age, no birth, no disease, no death, no miseries, no hard work? Where is it? Krishna says, that's what I'm coming to tell you, you foolish person. And you're trying to get it here. You won't get it here. It's all mixed up here. That's what I'm coming to tell you. I've got it there in my abode. My mother Yasoda is there, Nanda is there. I got my friends, relatives, my girlfriends, my brothers there, Balaram, all the boys, the cows. We have our family business. What's going on? We're vicious. Krishna's doing milking cows and they're doing trading. But there it never finishes. There it only increases the happiness. There's no problem there. No worry for money or debts or anything like that. Nobody's growing old. Krishna is 125 years old there. Look, he's beautiful. He's 125 years old. He's not all wrinkly and getting old and grey and teeth falling out. So that is what it's like in the spiritual world. You get a body, yeah? You don't have to run to the dentist every few years. Hair doesn't go grey. Nava juvenam, everything is ever fresh, ever new. So Krishna is inviting us to come, come. While you are rotting in this material world, come back, this is where you belong. And we are so much attached to this. That means we're not hearing properly. We hear it, it goes through there and out there. That's why hearing is so important. Shruti. Again and again, Krishna is saying to us, hear from me, Arjuna. Don't just let it go in and out. Hear from me what I'm saying. You keep coming up with arguments. Why don't you listen to what I'm saying? We are searching for a very nice situation, but this world is actually a very, very fearful place. Krishna himself said, from Brahmaloka, even you go to the highest planet, which is down to the lowest, they're all places of misery and suffering. That's Krishna's opinion of the material world. We think it's nice, but Krishna's opinion, Bhagavan's opinion, from the highest planet, they're all places of misery. Where birth and death take place, so. And they call it Matyaloka. This place is known as Matyaloka, the place of death. Who would want to go to that place? So Krishna is coming, he's inviting his canvassers, please, please. Come back. He personally comes, he sends his rep, he sends a man, he personally comes. Look, this is, give up all the speculation, what is God, God is this, God is not that, God is this.
God is light. God is. You don't. But I'm coming to show. Look, here I am. You see my beautiful color. See my bumpsy, my peacock feather, my pitamba dhoti. Here are my activities. My girlfriend, Radharani. My brother, Balaram. My Govardhan, my Jamuna. See, we got all these activities going on. You see? You don't have to speculate anymore. Anyway, you want some proof? Okay, I lift up a mountain for 7 days in my little area. You still don't believe me? I'll show you the Visaru. I'll kill a demon when I'm 3 months old, Putana. Well, I'll appear with four arms and I'm from Vasudeva. Is enough proof? You don't have to speculate anyway. I'm showing you I am God. I'm not just saying, simply speaking, I am God. Many people are saying, well, I am God also. But Krishna's not simply speaking, I am God, I'm yogi, I am God. No, he's proving also. Okay, you want proof? 16,000 queens who were captured by Bhamasura. Krishna killed Bhamasura, really. You can go back now to your kingdoms. They said, how we can go back? We've been kidnapped by this Rakshasa, this Bhamasura. How we can, we're going to be ostracized from our society? We've been out of home for so many days now. He's captured us all. Who's going to marry us? What's our fate? Well, Krishna says, what do you want? We want to marry you, Krishna. Okay. Oh, Krishna says, okay. They all made up their minds. Okay. So 16,000. 16,108 total wise. So what does that mean? Each wife has to wait 16,108 nights to be with Krishna. No, this is not Krishna. He expands himself. 16,108 Krishnas. 16,108 beautiful palaces. Nobody can equal the activities of Krishna. So he comes personally and says, look at my activities. I'm showing you. I'm telling you. If you still don't believe me, I'm showing you practically. You don't have to speculate anymore. And now I'm telling you, please, I'm begging you, please, please come back to where you belong. Don't stay here rotting in this material world. And here he's making it very easy. All my devotees engage in all kinds of activities. You don't have to be a sannyasi. You don't have to be a jnani. Remain in Bhavasopni. All my devotees, Krishna says, they will come. By my grace, they will come. Because they're sold out to Krishna. We realize we've made a big fools of ourselves, Krishna. We've been going around in this samsara business for billions and billions of universes. Now we've come to our senses, Krishna. We realize that we are your eternal servants. Kindly accept us as your eternal servants, Krishna. From this day on, we are simply the dust at your lotus feet, Krishna. Please give us your protection. That's all. Then do your karmas. But Krishna says, oh yeah, you come to me, okay. It's just a matter of time now. They'll all come to me, all my devotees. So this is a nice thing about devotional service. You don't have to change anything, only your consciousness. Arjuna was trying like anything to get out of the fight. I'm going to take sannyas. Better that I become a beggar. I'll become like a sannyas. Rather than kill my own. Krishna says, anyway, you can't do that. Even you speaking like that, you can't do it, Arjuna, because your nature is you're a Kshatriya. And you know what's going to happen? Everyone's going to laugh at you and scold you a coward. They're not going to think it's just out of compassion for my relatives. You're given an excuse. I feel compassion. I don't want to kill my guru. You asked me to kill my guru. Krishna is known as Madhusudan Kishi. You kill demons. You're famous as a demon killer. But you're asking me to kill my guru, Krishna. There's a difference here. You're famous as Madhusudan and Kishi Nusudan. These are all, you're killing demons, Krishna. But you're asking me to kill my guru, my family. This is different. So many excuses he's giving. Krishna says, everyone's going to laugh at you and call you a coward, Arjuna. They're not going to think you're compassionate. these Kshatriyas, they're going to laugh. Call you a eunuch. What did you start you and accept the battle? This is not the position of a Kshatriya. And he said, even if you go, Arjuna, you go to the forest and sit in the forest, my Maya is going to come in the form of Rajagun, because that's your nature, you're a Kshatriya. And you're going to be sitting there thinking of Duryodhana and Bhishma and all your enemies, and you're going to get really, and you're going to pick up your bow and arrow yourself and you go out and fight him. You're not going to be able to sit in the forest even. You're going to be somehow overcome. My Maya in the form of Rajagun will come and agitate you. And you'll pick up your bow and you'll go out to fight to find him by yourself. And that time, even I will laugh at you, Arjuna. So he says, you do your duty. You're a Kshatriya, but you do it for me because I want you this fight to take place. So Krishna's not asking us, to make a big sudden change and give everything up. He's only asking one change. Change your consciousness, that's all. Just change the consciousness. Just like Arjuna, they're sitting on the chariot. Then Arjuna becomes overwhelmed. I got to kill my relative. Krishna says, you're in Maya, Arjuna. Then he explains the Bhagavad Gita. He enlightens. It takes about half an hour, something like that. We are studying whole lifetime, big pundits, whole life. They kind of, Krishna spoke at half an hour on a battlefield, just as a matter of course, his friend. This is Bhagavan, you see. We're studying whole lifetime, we can't understand. Arjuna, you're in Maya. Then he explains all this. Then at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, so Arjuna, what is your decision? Should I repeat it again? Have you heard? And Arjuna, finally, yes. Now I have heard. And I have no doubt anymore. Now I'm ready to fight. I want to kill. They're my relatives. Same situation. The chariot hadn't moved anywhere. The same chariot was there. The same armies were there. Krishna, nobody went anywhere. Half an hour before, Arjuna was in complete Maya. And half an hour later, I'm ready to kill for you, Krishna. So where was the Maya? It was only in Arjuna's mind. And Krishna removed it. So it's just simply a change of consciousness, that's all. First, Arjuna's consciousness was in Maya. Half an hour later, he was out of Maya. I'm ready to fight for you, Krishna. You want this battle to take place. So this is the only thing we have to do. A change of consciousness. We don't have to change our position. People think spiritual life means you have to give up everything and go to the forest and sit in the ashram. You simply have to change your consciousness to Krishna consciousness. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's what it's all about. What does Krishna want? I'll do that. I'll stay where I am, but I'll do it for Krishna. I'll give the fruits of my work to Krishna. I'll dedicate everything to Krishna. I've got my family, my wife, my children, my kids, my responsibilities. How do I give it to Krishna? I'll see that it's not my wife, it's Krishna's servant. It's not my children, they're Krishna's servant. I'm not the master, Krishna's the master of the house. Everything comes with them. Same situation is there, same family is there, same work is going on, but Krishna is the center. And everything is related to Krishna. And the food we eat is your first offer to Krishna. That's all. So we only changed our consciousness. We made it a Krishna conscious household. We didn't change anything else. So it's a very simple process of Krishna consciousness. And anybody can take to Krishna consciousness. You just don't have to make a big change or anything like that. Just change that consciousness. And what does that change? That changes the correct consciousness. Now the consciousness is incorrect. It's Maya. Consciousness is absorbed in Maya. My house, my family, my nation. I'm the enjoyer. Mamamati. I and mine. I am the Lord of all I survey. This is the position of everyone. So it's just simply changing that conception, that consciousness into Krishna consciousness. Then everything becomes, Krishna says, it becomes blissful. Life becomes happy. Why? Because you've removed the main problem of life, birth and death. That's finished. And nobody else has a solution for it. All your medicines today, they still haven't got that, solved that problem of death. They haven't got that. That is the goal of everyone. Ultimately, they meet with death. That is waiting at the end of the road. That is why nobody likes to talk about death. You are very morbid, don't talk about it. Why? Because it's there and I know I'm going towards it. Don't talk about it, don't remind me. But we know what it is. Death is simply a name. When you change from one body to another, there's nothing. So the devotee is not frightened because he knows what it is and he knows there is no more change of body. He knows he's going back to Krishna. Krishna has promised. You'll come back, my imperishable, eternal abode. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he surrendered to Krishna. At the time of leaving his body, death personified came and bowed down before him. Dhruva put his foot on his head and stepped onto the Vaikuntha aeroplane that came down. He used death as a stepping stone to get onto the Vaikuntha aeroplane. This is the position of a devotee. Death personified will come and but I finished with you. I've been dealing with you for billions and billions of universal births. Now I'm finished. I'm bowing down before you. At last you have conquered me. Put your foot on me. Step onto Garuda and Krishna will take you back to Godhead. So devotees, they don't have any fear. But everyone else is in a fearful condition of life. It's a material existence is a fearful existence. That's a fact. You have seen the birds eating a little bit of bread. Oh wait. They're fearful. Everybody is fearful at every moment. Why we should live in a fearful condition? We belong in Vaikuntha where there is no anxiety. This material world is called Kunta. Place are full of anxiety. And we're trying to make a happy situation here. So, Krishna is telling us, all the saints and sages in different times and different ages, Jesus, Christ, Muhammad, whoever they are, they're carrying the same message. It's not a different message. This is not a good place to hang around in. You do your business and get out quickly. Go back to Krishna. And Krishna's so kind that he personally comes also. And here, although he's asking, yes, you give up everything, surrender unto me. Still he sees it's difficult for the living entity to say, still they cannot appreciate what I'm saying. They can't understand this, surrender to me. They think it's too much for them to surrender everything to Krishna. So therefore he comes as his own devotee 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This time he doesn't demand anything. I'm not demanding surrender. Surrender means you give. You give everything to me. This time Krishna says, it's too difficult for the living then. This time he comes, he says, don't give anything. Otherwise, God wants something from me. You're a little bit shy. He comes, don't give anything. I am giving. I come to give. Here, take it. Hare Krishna. Take. You take the holy name of Krishna. Giving freely. Mama Mahabhadanaya Krishna bring. Giving freely, Krishna bring. Through the holy name. This is the kindness of Krishna. Again and again he is coming. And only 500 years ago he came with his most precious gift. Krishna consciousness. Golokara Premadana Hari Nama Shanti. Krishna says, come home to that imperishable abode, eternal abode. The place of where the glories of Krishna are always chanted, the sanctity. He's so kind, he brought that process here also, sanctity. Brought it right here to this world, Navadvip. And he comes and he distributes it freely to everyone. He cannot get more kind. He's not asking anything. He's only, please take it.
And I don't care. I'm not even considering whether you're qualified or not. Anybody can say to it. And you can chant anywhere. There's no consideration of place, time, circumstance, cleanliness, uncleanliness, pronunciation, old, young. You cannot get more kind than this. He doesn't. Krishna never gets more kind than this. Rupa Goswami, he said, there's no incarnation ever like this. The more Mahabharata, it just doesn't happen. All the great scholars, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Bhakshananda Saraswati, nobody is more kind than this form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nobody. In all the avatars, billions of avatars coming actually all the time throughout the universe. But none as kind as this. None as kind as this. Because they're all demanding something. There has to be some quality. You have to have qualification. That has to be there. But in this particular incarnation, I'm not going to consider the qualification or disqualification. I'm just considering your service, how you are rendering service to me. So you come to give devotional service through the chanting of Hare Krishna. And that's all we've got to do. So everybody is equal from his angle of vision. We can all approach him with service. And that's all he sees. Mahavatana. Otherwise, the other avatars, they see so many disqualifications. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not seeing. Therefore, he's made the way so easy. And Srila Prabhupada made it even easier. Norman Prabhupada said, you have to be 100% Krishna conscious to go back to Godhead. Devotees are a little bit. And Prabhupada said, 90% Krishna conscious. He said, at least 80% Krishna conscious. Few of them. Harry Ball, Prabhupada. 75%. Okay, how's that? 75%. Hey, very well. 75% Krishna conscious. You can go back. And then when Prabhupada was leaving, he was walking out the door. Then he turned around and he said, and if you can't do 75, just catch hold of the back of my dhoti. I got the back door key to Goloka. So the devotees are even more kind than Krishna. But you cannot get any more kind than this particular area we're in right now for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki. Nitai Go Premanandi. Thank you very much. Any comment or question? Good. You're all convinced.
I have a question. Here Krishna says that he does not see the qualification of a devotee who is trying to surrender unto him. Does that? No, Krishna says by his grace, even if he is a householder, he can come back to my abode by performing his, offering his, whatever activities he is doing to me. Does that mean in this path of Krishna consciousness, if somebody is not even initiated and he has to give up his body, but he is thinking of the Lord at the end of his life, he can still go back home, back to Godhead, not attached to the parampara as surrendering to a guru?
The question is, if a person is not initiated,
but he's rendering some devotional service. And he leaves his body, but he's remembering Krishna. What is his destination? Yeah, if he's remembering Krishna, he goes back to Godhead. Krishna says quite clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, whoever remembers me at the time of the day will come back to my supreme abode. Whatever your consciousness is fixed on at the time of leaving your body, that state you will attain without fail. So if you're thinking of Krishna, without fail. But which Godhead? There are many, many Vaikuntha lokas. To get to Golok, simply without the mercy of a devotee, you won't get it. Krishna in Golok is the property of the devotees. Specifically, he's the property of the gopis. You have to receive the mercy of the gopis. This is from Shastra. Prakshananda Saraswati Thakur also quoted that. Krishna, the different forms in Vaikuntha of Narayana, that you can achieve. But the supreme abode of Golok, Krishna's abode, Goloka Vrindavan, the only way to get that entrance into that is by the mercy of the gopis. Krishna is their property. So you want to approach him, he's their property. So you have to approach the gopis. Then he says, so how to approach those gopis? He said, immediately, go to Navadvip and take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he is the supreme gopi. He is Radha Krishna. He's appeared along with his associates. Take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Then you can actually approach Radha and Krishna. So you may, unless you get their mercy, the mercy of a pure devotee, you won't get that opportunity. But you get somewhere. Some position, got it. But if you're actually attached to the movement of Lord Chaitanya, then you'll take your birth in a situation where you can follow that on and actually associate with get the mercy of devotees. Then finally, those who get association of pure devotees, finally, they'll take birth in the planet where Krishna is appearing. Krishna appears in the material world once in the day of Brahma on the 28th millennium. So they'll take birth in that time when Krishna appears there. They can take birth in the gopa's family as gopis if they have that relationship with Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically came to give this relationship, and the relationship of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Shakiras, Vatsalaras, Madhujiras. So it says they'll take birth in the family of gopas and gopis. And in that position, then they'll have a chance to associate with the eternal associates of Krishna, the eternal gopis, because Krishna brings his eternal associates also. So if you want a relationship with Krishna as a friend in friendship, then you'll take birth in the family of gopas. Then you'll associate with some of the eternal gopas, you know, Sudama, Subal, Stoka Krishna. And by their association, then you get they imbibe into you the process of loving Krishna as a friend. Or if you want to approach Krishna in the form as a gopi, then you'll associate with those Nitya Siddha gopis, Lalita Vishaka, Induleka, or like Rupa Goswami, they come here like Manjari. And then they imbibe, by their association, they personally imbibe that proper mood to approach Radha and Krishna. So only through the devotees, actually, then we get closer and closer. But anybody who remembers Krishna, he will definitely go somewhere. Not material, but he'll get spiritual.
Yeah. What about
Yeah, the devotees say, don't come under the modes of material nature. Shatugun, Rajagun, Tamagun, these are conducted by Maya Devi, Durga Devi. But those who are doing activities for Krishna, the activities are directed to Krishna, then Durga Devi can't stand in the way. She's like the darkness, and Krishna is like the sunshine. Wherever the sun is, the darkness cannot stand. So this is the position. She's like the shadow, and Krishna is like the sun. So when one actually serves Krishna, he's like the sun, then Maya Devi cannot stay in the presence of Krishna. She's the shadow. She goes backside of it. So it's not possible that once you start approaching Krishna, serving Krishna, then it doesn't come under the realm of Shatagun, Rajagun, or Tamagun. It comes under the Devi Prakriti, the divine energy. Krishna says, you come under my protection. The divine nature takes over. We have to be conscious of when we're doing it for Krishna. If we're not conscious that we're doing it for Krishna, then we can easily fall back into the modes of material nature. Therefore, Krishna stresses again and again, always be conscious of me. Man mana madhva, always be thinking of me. So this consciousness next verse. No, two verses after today. Krishna says, if you become conscious of me, you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life. Conditioned life means conditioned by three modes of material nature. So Krishna says, you'll cross over all of that. If you become conscious of me, by my grace again. By my grace. However, if you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. That means in Maya. Lost in Maya. In the second chapter, when you have passed through this dense darkness of delusion, very nice statement, Prabhupada. Dense darkness of illusion means you're lost in this delusion. You're lost in Maya, in the material energy, Satyagun, Rajagun, Tamagun. If we become unconscious of Krishna, but if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of condition over Maya. So Krishna says, how to become conscious of me? It's not that I'll do the work. He says, Arjuna, don't act like this. I'll do some work. Then I'll make the offering to Krishna. He says, no, not like that. While you're doing the work, you're conscious of me. Not when you've got something and then I'll consciously offer it to Krishna. All the time, while you're doing work, etc., you're conscious of Krishna. When you get the result of the work, then you offer that result. You see, this is consciousness all the time. Not I'll do my work and then offer it to Krishna. No, first I become conscious of what I'm doing, and I'll do it for Krishna, and I'll always be conscious. Then I offer it to Krishna also. And Vishwanath gives the example of drinking honey from the bottle. Like that. You drink the Bisli. It's in the car and you a little bit too much and it's in your face. And the moment it goes down, it stops. But if you have honey, a bottle of honey, even the car's jumping and the bottle, but still the honey is coming, there's always a continuous flow of honey. Because it's very thick. So it's just like that. Just like the thick flow of honey. You should always be thinking of me like that. The beginning of your activities should never leave. My consciousness should never leave you. While you're doing your activities, the beginning, the middle of the activities, the end. I should always be there, just like that flow of honey. It doesn't stop.
This is consciousness of me, not just I'll do my work and offer it to Krishna and then become Krishna. Not like that. All the time Krishna says, all become conscious. This is what we are practicing. This is why we are always chanting Hare Krishna. Remember Krishna there. Thinking of Krishna. Then you can conquer easy maya. What is the verse? Krishna is the... Anybody know that verse? Maya is the darkness and Krishna is... God has... Yeah. So if Krishna is there, Maya cannot be there. That's the whole secret. Learning how to keep Krishna there. Gracias.